Tema. Widening. It is one of these spiritual movements. In fact, it is both a movement and an experience. When the Vedic rishis describe the Supreme Reality, they speak of three things. The true satyam, the right rhythm, not right as we understand, and vast vrihatam. So if you look at this creation, it is like a funnel. So when you go wider and wider, in fact in creation you have the entire Veda path, everything is there in creation, if you learn how to read it. So as the flight goes higher and higher, enters into higher and higher regions, its speed, momentum, everything is wonderful. It literally goes smoothly. As it comes lower and lower, it enters into zones of turbulences. It is pulled by gravity. So on one side there is widening, on the other side there is narrowing. Narrowing is of two kinds. One is narrowing of consciousness that we do in meditation and concentration. Here the purpose of narrowing is to focus on one point where this intensity which develops as a result of narrowing, it opens a door, it acts like a key. This is one kind of narrowing. But there is something else, another kind of narrowing, which is because the state of consciousness is very narrow. That narrowness generates a lot of suffering. And we don't realize it. Why does the mind suffer? Because things are not happening according to my thinking. It may be within a family, it may be in a country, it may be in the world. And based on that, we draw our own conclusions about life, about God. The narrower we are, the more aggressive, violent, weak we become. Because thought, you'll see some people who think, only this way and no other. Mother and Shurvindu, so many vast ways. So narrowing of the mind generates stress, creates problem in interpersonal relationship. By narrowing of the mind means only picking up one little aspect of life or thought and thinking that is everything. And it creates a lot of problems in human life. Then there is narrowing of the heart. When it becomes very narrow, it becomes possessive. It wants to possess. It becomes fearful of losing the object of love. It becomes jealous. So all these movements make us suffer because heart has entered into a narrow hole. Even on physical life you will see. You will see snakes live in the hole, but out of that emerges the bird which flies in the sky. So we enter into a hole, and we have experience. When we are in a hole, we are totally concentrated upon ourselves. Not only ourselves, our difficulty, our problem, as if creation has marked us for suffering. Then we even paint a god of suffering. God is somebody who is there to give us suffering. All these things people begin to conceive because they are in a state of, they have entered into a hole. That hole is what depression is. And at the physical level also, you will see something very interesting. Whenever you are hurt by anything, whether emotionally, egoistically, or there is a physical injury, there is a shrinking. There is a stiffening. Tato navi jugupsate. So there is a jugupsa, this is shrinking. And this shrinking can go to that extent that if you have had an injury physically, after you have recovered, you don't like to make the same movement. People who are driving, they get afraid. Why? Because they fell down. So this shrinking, this narrowing, increases the pain and suffering because your entire consciousness is centered there. Of course, it serves one purpose. It is a defense mechanism. If you have had an injury, the body, the consciousness reacts, shrinks. Why? Because probably this way it will avoid the danger. Some people psychologically go into a shell. And physically, because the consciousness has shrunk there, body knows where to send the defense forces, matlab, immune system and other things. So this is how it the human body, human system operates. It shrinks in the face of pain. But this shrinking often makes things worse. It can create more and more suffering. Consciousness gets habituated to concentrate in there. There are some people who say, you know, I was hurt here on this date and now that date is coming. They create a formation, they suffer. It can go to any extent. Because it does not, it's like opposite of freedom. It binds you. It's like people who, based on one experience of life, their consciousness gets so much centered there that they think world is like that. All experiences are like that. If they had an experience of trauma as a child, I'm talking of a girl or a boy, they start shrinking from human relationship because they think all men are like that, all women are like that. So you see, this narrowing of consciousness leads to a lot of unnecessary suffering. So there is a method by which we can get rid of it without going through all this elaborate process of trying to understand, analyze and rectifying it, going back to that movement and trying to correct it. And that method is called widening. Just as when the plane flies higher and higher, you come out of the zone of turbulence. Of course, we cannot breathe there if we were without the plane. And that is because we are not accustomed to this wideness. It's like mountaineers. Those who are accustomed to the mountain, they love to climb the mountain, love to be there. But people from the plains, if they go suddenly, they'll become asphyxiated. So that's one thing that very difficult for human consciousness to live in wideness. But it is possible. So the mother describes that when we face a difficulty, even Sri Aurobindo says the same thing. When you have a difficulty, instead of constantly brooding over the difficulty, which gives it strength, because you are giving it so much importance, do the movement of widening. So widening releases you from the difficulty. It's like you are seeing this thing here. I give that example of looking at the picture of a city from the drone view. Now drone view is beautiful. But when you are actually physically near it, it's a different view altogether. So we can make this movement. Always widening accompanies ascension, invariably. But here the ascension comes secondary to the widening itself. So how to widen? Somebody asked the mother, what do you mean when you say widen yourself? Mother says, I mean widen your consciousness. So how to widen the consciousness? There are different ways. One place she says, contemplate the boundlessness of space and the endlessness of time. You have been there in lives before and you will be there. See, what does Krishna tell Arjun? Arjun, you and me and all these warriors have been before. Never has been a time when we were not, and never there will be a time when we shall not be. So what is he telling Arjun? Be wide. You are too much focused on this, that, at the moment, your relative, but you have always been there. So this helps us to widen. Boundlessness of space, when you look at, go beyond this state of misery. For instance, there is that famous line, stone walls not a prison make. Now look at Sri Aurobindo and how that story of the lost footsteps, where he is in a prison. But his state is of that degree of wideness. Of course, Sri Aurobindo uses directly the spiritual method, the one self everywhere in everything. But that's not easy. Those who can do it, it's the most sure short way. So even in the prison, he says it became an ashram because he's entered into that state of wideness where nothing really matters. You are living, dwelling in that vast inner space. This is the beauty. Yoga is exploring inner space. Animals can't do it because most of them are not conscious. Higher animals probably become conscious of an inner space. But that's a different subject. But human beings become conscious of an inner space. In the inner space, we can experience going into a hole, narrowing, and we feel distressed. Whole thing is shrinking. We are feeling injured, insulted. But in the inner space, you can enter also into a wideness. So one way is contemplate the boundlessness of space and the endlessness of time. Another way is to take the example of an image. Imagination is a great power of human mind, but we have lost it. There are so many ways, but we are just taking one example. Image of anything that is vast. And that's where we see nature has provided everything for us. It has given us ways to meditate. It teaches us. The entire Veda is written in this universe. So one way of widening is just look at the stars. We have lost it. But stargazing was a way people felt better. You go to the roof and you gaze at the stars and you see some of the stars. This is a meditation Sri Aurobindo gives in Isavasya Upanishad. Some of the stars which have probably been there since our forefathers. This used to be a method, by the way, when people are separated by long distance and they are feeling pained at separation. They instinctively make this movement. Do you see that moon? Yes, I am seeing the same moon. You are connected through the moon. So this wideness of the sky, the stars, it is so relaxing, so liberating. We don't have the fortune now of watching the stars. But even if you just look at, we have the television, and if you just look at these images of galaxies moving, it can liberate us because suddenly the mind gets transported into that wideness. Another method is simply imagining that we are physically becoming whiter and whiter. So we are not in the house is within our consciousness. And then the city is within our consciousness. And then the earth is within our consciousness. Then expand, include the stars, the sky within. It's imagination. But this imagination can open the door one day to a real experience because this is a deeper reality. That's why this imagination works. But there is another way which is so beautiful. That's what the mother says. Imagine you are floating on an ocean. Ocean full of peace, tranquil ocean. Ocean of light. Sheer Sagar. And you're just floating on that ocean of light and peace. Surrounded by that light and peace all around. You yourself become that light and peace. And that is entering deep, deep, deep inside. It is entering into every cell, every part of a being. And all that you have is that ocean of light and peace. If there is a physical pain, somewhere in the physical body there is a discomfort, just imagine that you are opening this body like you open a carpet which is rolled up. And this body is opening up. All the knots, all the hurts, all the injuries, all the insults, they are like little knots. And you are opening up these knots. You are not analyzing them. Just opening them and opening and invoking her light and peace and tranquility. In all these knots and this body itself opening like a carpet and extending horizontally, wide, wide, wide. And you're floating like a water lily. Effortlessly floating like a water lily. All this light and peace is entering from this vastness everywhere, in the thoughts, in the feelings, in the life energy, in the body, in every organ, this peace and light and tranquility is entering deep, 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 full of deep relaxation. No need to change anything, no need to understand anything, no need to worry about past and future, no need to analyze beyond all analysis, conception, thought. This peace and wideness of the infinite. And we are bathing in this ocean of peace and infinity, widening our consciousness by identifying with this ocean of peace, tranquility, infinity, relaxing, letting go of everything, relaxing, relax completely, completely pass into the silence behind the stars, silence in the depths, silence behind life, silence which is the birthplace of our soul. And there, be in the lap of the Divine Mother, in a lap free from all fear and care. She is caressing us, the Infinite Mother of unnumbered souls. We are in her lap, she is caressing us. She is caressing, healing, filling all with her tranquil peace and light. Peace and light. Peace and light. Chema.